The good news is alive in the world this morning. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
Alleluia!
He has risen indeed. Here we are. Easter is here. We made it through those 40 days of Lent with the ashes, maybe that linger on our forehead, whether visible or invisible, that then came to a climactic conclusion on Good Friday with the message of Jesus' betrayal and his death. And yet the good news this morning is that Jesus is alive. Death is not the end, and we gather to celebrate this good, good news. A special welcome this morning to any guests or visitors. We are so encouraged to have you with us, and we hope that you feel the welcome of this community here this morning and the love of God. This morning, I want to invite us to think a little bit deeper on what God actually is. Every culture in time and space has had thoughts on God and what kind of a thing or a stuff that God is. And I think it's worth maybe spending a moment of time today asking this question: what kind of a being is God? Who is this God that is revealed in Jesus? I don't have all the answers, certainly, about what God is. I won't pretend to know even maybe more than a small bit. But what I can say for sure that is that I have personally experienced and seen in countless stories around me that those who get close to God get close to literal life itself. Creation, abundance, growth, the very source, the wellspring of being, cosmic juice, if you will. Proximity to God is the same as closeness to the animating energy of life itself. The nearer we are to God, literally, the nearer we are to life. This life is nuclear, too. This life is exploding with so much abundance, it can't be contained. God's movement in and through the universe happens in a way that when God bumps into stuff, even dead stuff, it literally explodes back to life. We have this gospel story this morning paired with these two Old Testament readings about the crazy prophet Elijah from 2 Kings. There are some wild stories about Elijah, and I think these two stories really show this. The first story we have is this kind of horrifying story about a young boy who has died after being promised by Elijah to a woman who didn't think that she would give birth. Now, if it sounded a little familiar in the beginning, it kind of might remind us of Elizabeth and Zechariah, right? John the Baptist's parents. Kind of maybe a little bit of foreshadowing here. But in this promised story, the boy has died. The boy's mother grabs a donkey and races to the prophet Elisha for help. Because why would Elisha promise a son only for him to be taken away? It doesn't make sense. So as they ride this donkey into town, and here again, notice, where have we else just heard a story about somebody riding a donkey into a city? Elisha springs into action, seeing this. Elisha, aligned with the actions of what God is doing in the world, does this strange thing that probably just culturally we aren't going to ever understand. But he puts his staff on the boy's face, or I should say the servant goes ahead and does that. And then further, then Elijah kind of like lays himself on top of the boy in this weird like CPR mouth-to-mouth scene. And then suddenly the boy springs back to life. Proximity to God is new life. Elisha, who is symbolizing what God is up to in the world, equals life. So if we fast forward a little bit through 2 Kings, further into these crazy stories of Elisha, we see that Elisha then eventually dies. And because he was so aligned with God and symbolizing God's presence in the world, even his dusty bones in a grave, when they come into contact with another dead body, they cause that body to reanimate and come back to life. God is a being just so clearly associated with life itself that even just getting close to God turns dead things alive again. What a contrast, then, in the Gospels that we just witnessed on Good Friday, or Black Friday, as some people call it, Death Friday, Darkness Friday, that on a hill called Golgotha, a place of the skull, a hill that was actually kind of almost shaped like a dead human skull, God in the human man Jesus completely empties himself of all of this animating life force power. God is put to death by his own creation. The created image bearers of God, humanity, us, turns around and kills God on Good Friday. In fact, death itself seems to almost be God's primary enemy throughout all time. I know people like to point to the devil being the adversary, and it's kind of funny, Pastor Cassie and I were joking about this in the office this week. It reminded us of Bobby Boucher's mom in Waterboy, who blames the devil for everything bad, if you know that movie. But maybe I wonder if this blaming the devil is simply talk about another way to think about death and the consequences of death. Maybe it's kind of like saying the absence of life itself in a personified form. In the Garden of Eden, we see the snake come and introduce this idea of death. It worms its way into the good creation. The apple from the forbidden tree was actually called the knowledge of good and evil, right? Some scholars like Robert Alter actually conclude that the apple that God forbids man to eat from this particular tree because he is doomed to die if he eats it. So the idea of death comes into creation later from the creation itself. I like to think that God knew about the risk of death entering into creation, but understood it, saw it, thought that it was still worth it, and then came up with a plan that doesn't deny it, but instead punches through it beyond into something on the other side of it. But wow, death stings. Death hurts. Some of us today may feel broken and defeated by death because we've lost loved ones. And nothing hurts more than this, I think. Death feels like the strongest force in the universe today, because we're all bound to it, inching closer towards it each day. It feels overwhelming. And maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you are feeling broken by death's crushing weight. If it is, we as a community, we wrap our arms around you. You are in the right place. We're here with you. You see, this being that we call God, that we talk about so much, God gets it. God fully understands what it feels like to die. God feels the crushing weight of losing loved ones along the way to his own death. But just as this problem, death, crept in, so does the solution. To be remade. To take what is gone and literally build it back again. To make it the same, but also not. More alive. Closer to life. Stronger. Recreated from the very source of life itself, yet also maintaining who we are in our deepest parts of our being. We call this resurrection, and we get a taste of it today. As we bump into God in the world, this spills out and it happens all around us, like little mini resurrections along the edges of the seams of life. We see things come full circle. We see the hope of victory, of life over death. I love hearing and telling stories where I see people go through personal times of redemption, experiencing and seeing things come full circle in their own lives. I'm reminded of a story that I heard this week about a police officer who was baptized by a clergy couple that he had previously arrested. The couple named Kevin and Danielle first met the police officer under to put it nicely, some pretty painful circumstances. They were arrested while they were struggling deep, deep with addiction. The couple later got sober, though, and they were introduced to Jesus along this process. As they were going through their community service sentences, they were connected with the same police officer who arrested them, now retired while serving on a city work crew. It became apparent that the officer could trust this couple, and that they had turned their lives around. They had become trustworthy. Kevin, this former addict, was promoted to lead the crew, and he was actually even granted early release from the program under the encouragement from the very officer that had previously put him away. The couple actually ended up becoming lay pastors at their Presbyterian church, and they continued to have a relationship with the police officer. Years passed. The police officer, on his own faith journey, encountered Jesus in a new way, and he wanted to be baptized. Several years after Kevin and Danielle's arrest, Pastor Kevin baptized the police officer. As Danielle put it, this is just one more piece of evidence of God's power in our story, that nobody is beyond resurrection. I love that line from the story, that nobody is beyond resurrection. Perhaps you feel like your life isn't what you hoped it would be, that you aren't maybe who you dreamed of being. God is telling you today that no one, not even you, are beyond resurrection. No matter what you've done, what's been done to you, resurrection, I believe, can begin in the here and now. In a story like this one, seeing the radical change in people like Kevin and Danielle, from drug addicts to ministers, baptizing their former officer that saved their lives and helped break the cycle of addiction plaguing them. Hear the good news then this Easter, that God is teeming with life itself, that God wants to share that life with you. New life, fresh, limitless, like fusion exploding with energy. God invites you into this new life today. Jesus lives and promises that nobody is beyond resurrection. When you wonder what God is, I invite you to think of that story about bumping into Elisha's bones. That proximity to God is life itself. That God stretches God's self out on top of you and breathes new life into you when you need it the most. That God is indeed all around you, surrounding you, and that in Jesus, death itself is overcome. So I'm going to invite you to shout it out with me once more. Let's say it together. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. Let's say it. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Thanks be to our risen God. Amen.